everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 16th of May, 2012, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Friday, June 1st. We will be celebrating our one-year anniversary here on KVOI, AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice, and our simulcast partner is KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our program on one of three websites: my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. The show is usually posted by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Our wonderful producer, Rosemary Brandt, takes care of that. So the program is available for you to hear 24/7 on any of those three websites. But we are live right now, Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We get things rolling with our newsmaker interview with State Senator Al Melvin, who will give us his impressions of the just concluded 2012 legislative session. At 30 minutes past the hour, a new vision for one of Tucson's most important industries. We will meet with the new leader of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. His name is Brent Durad. We will meet him today. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation. This is an interactive program, and if you have a comment or question for Senator Melvin or for Mr. Durad coming up, 790-2040 is our Buckmaster Show live line. You can also email the questions. We monitor that during the show at buckmastershow.com or on our Facebook page, buckmastershow.com. And if you have a story idea, a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we always encourage you to let us know. One thing I will point out that you will not be hearing during this political season on the Buckmaster Show is political ads. Out of respect for our Buckmaster Show sponsors and listeners, we've created something of a political ad-free hour on the Buckmaster Show. You will still hear all of the candidates being questioned here, but you just won't hear their political ads. And now we begin with State Senator Al Melvin, Republican representative from District 26, and he is a candidate now for state senate in the newly created legislative district 11. Senator Melvin, good to see you.
Bill, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me, and I want to congratulate you on your 1 year of a successful new program here in southern Arizona, a real insightful and fair and balanced new show. And again, it couldn't be managed and led by a nicer fella and a fairer person than yourself, Bill Buckmaster, and it's great to be here.
Thank you very much. The newly created Legislative District 11, it's a bit confusing. There's an education process for all of us, including myself. I'm not really that familiar with all the boundaries. I know you are, at least for District 11. Roughly speaking, how does 11 compare with 26?
Well, first of all, my southern border used to be River Road, and it is now McGee. So my new district of 11 is made up of Saddlebrook, where I live. It's in the southernmost part of Pinal. Then Oral Valley, Marana. We go across I-10 and pick up Picture Rocks and go up the west side of I-10 to Casa Grande and up to the town of Maricopa.
And wow, all the way up that far.
That far. And takes in all of the western part of Pinal, but it's a nice Republican-leaning district, and I've got two wonderful running mates, current Senator Steve Smith, who has agreed to run for the House to avoid a primary within the Republicans for the Senate, and Adam Quasman. So it's myself for the Senate, Steve Smith, and Adam Quasman for the House, and we're off and running.
Let's talk a little bit about the just-concluded legislative session. Overall, some of your particular thoughts on it.
Well, the most important thing, as I mentioned to you prior to the show, Our current budget that we've operated under for some time now is balanced, and the new one that we just approved is balanced at $8.6 billion. And it will remain balanced through the out years to 2015 and hopefully beyond. I would like to point out that when I arrived at the Senate 4 years ago, the budget was $11.6 billion. We were able to reduce that by $3 billion. No small achievement. And a little history on that. It took the state of Arizona 90 years from 1912 to 2002 to get to a general fund budget of 6.3. But under the previous governor, prior to Governor Brewer, it was almost doubled in 6 years to 11.6, but we were able to protect education at 9,000 per child in all of the students in the K through 12 system, and we were able to keep the state going well to the point, as I mentioned earlier, we are now Arizona's in the top 10 states for business startups, great business climate, and also job creation. So we're firing on all cylinders, and I'm proud of it.
Senator Al Melvin is with us. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. One of the things you feel very passionately about, Senator Melvin, is the spent nuclear material.
Right.
That some AKA would refer to as nuclear waste. And one thing the legislature did toward the end of April in the closing days of the session went on record saying that the legislature, anyway, would like the federal government to consider establishing a site in Arizona to store spent nuclear fuel. Now, this legislation, which you sponsored, has no binding effect, but you see quite a bit of meaning, I would assume, in it, Senator.
Yes, a couple of things. One, I'm a strong believer in nuclear energy. The Navy, the U.S. Navy, I'm a veteran of 30 years in the U.S. Naval Reserve, retiring as a captain.
But and we thank you for your service.
Thank you. The U.S. Navy's been underway on nuclear power for over half a century without incident, and it's a national security issue. We have 104 commercial reactors in the country, three of which are at Palo Verde west of Phoenix. So instead of burying the spent nuclear fuel in Yucca Mountain, what we're proposing is to do what the French have done for 30 years, to recycle 96% into new usable fuel rods, to only have to dispose of 4% as opposed to 100%. And there are four areas that we're looking at predicated on large salt deposits to dispose of that final 4%, and they are Kingman, Holbrook, Safford, and Picacho Red Rock, far to the west of the area.
Senator Melvin is with us, and Terry is on our Buckmaster Show live line. But Terry, before you start, I want the senator to slip his headset. You'll need to slip the headset
yes.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to adjust the audio level right there, it's the first little button there.
Okay. I see it.
Okay. Terry, go ahead. You're with Senator Melvin.
Thank you, Senator. I want to thank you for your contribution and service to our nation, both in the military and as well as a senator. And I want to thank you for your common sense look at this material waste. I am a descendant of France, and, you know, it works there. And I thank you for your logical way of look at this. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thanks for that positive feedback, Terry. One thing I might mention to you, we have a website here called ANSAZ.org.
Give me that again.
ANSAZ.org, which stands for the American Nuclear Society Arizona chapter. And we're having our monthly meeting tomorrow at the Metropolitan Grill. For those that are interested, perhaps Terry could come. But this proposal that we're making, Bill, is huge. It's a $20 billion investment in the state, and the funds have already been collected at 1 mil per kilowatt hour over the last 30 years. It will be a facility that would operate for 50 years. It would take about 10 years to build. There would be 18,000 construction workers to build it. It's totally safe and scientifically proven. It would employ 5,000 direct hire and 30,000 first year around it. And that community or that area where it would be built would receive an infusion of approximately $500 million a year for 50 years. It's just a game changer for that part of Arizona, and it'll be satisfying a nuclear and a national security demand that we have to satisfy for our country.
And you're also not only in favor of this particular issue, but you're also in favor of tourism, which will be our subject coming up at the bottom of the hour. You did create two legislative caucuses, one for mining and one for tourism, both huge industries here in Arizona. But some of the naysayers, Senator, would say that tourism and the spent nuclear waste just don't go together.
But actually, they do. You know, politics is education, and we have to educate our people. All of these issues now, whether it be mining and opening up the Rosemont mine south of here, the mining of uranium, the maximum use of nuclear power, all of these are national security issues. We must educate our people to the needs of these things. Otherwise, if we bury our heads in the sand like the ostriches up by Picacho Peak, we run the risk of becoming a third world country.
All right. Senator Melvin is with us. We're at about the halfway point here of the first half hour of the Buckmaster Show. Now it is time to hear from those fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. Please support these people. They believe in what we do here. And a nice word, drop by, take care of these people. Let's go to the break right now.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we approach 12:22 on this Thursday afternoon. This portion of our program brought to you by our friends at Splendido. At Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community, they've got a fine website. You can check it out, SplendidoTucson.com. Our interview today, our lead interview with Senator Al Melvin. We've been talking about the legislative session. We've been talking about the senator's ideas for spent nuclear material being housed in Arizona. And I know, Senator, you are not happy that the governor vetoed legislation to demand title to most federal lands in the state of Arizona.
Well, that's right, Bill. But first of all, on the issue of spent nuclear fuel, I want to emphasize what we're looking at is recycling 96% of it into new fuel rods and disposing of 4%.
Okay, now.
But on the SB 1332, which the governor vetoed, it is really unfortunate, and I'm seriously thinking of taking this to the ballot next year because time is critical. Her counterpart, the governor of Utah, signed an identical bill into law of the bill that she vetoed. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that all of our eastern states and western states are 98% private.
Mm-hmm.
But in Arizona and most western states, at the most, we're 18% private.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 50% federal, not including Indian lands and military reservations. So if you are a proponent of education, which I think we all are, education is primarily funded in many states, most states, by private property taxes. If Texas and all states to the east are 98% private and we're 18, what does that do to public education funding, that alone? But what is really that plus other things are very disturbing. Not only do the feds have up to 50% of the state and federal land, but they're mismanaging it. The Forest Service, BLM, we had the most horrendous forest fires in our state's history last year. We've got some massive ones underway now that are out of control. And the reason is the feds are mismanaging it. They are not allowing lumber companies to go in and clear out the underbrush and harvest the forest. They've brought the forest industry, cattle raising, and mining to their knees. But the most current thing, as we were discussing, is Tombstone and Tombstone's water supply.
Water battle there with the federal government.
The Forest Service told the town of Tombstone, you can go into our managed land, but no machinery to restore your water pipeline, no bulldozers, tractors. You can bring in hammers, shovels, pickaxes. So And that's exactly what they're going to find on 7, 8, and 9 June. I appeal to your listeners, remember those dates, 7, 8, 9 June, tombstone, water restoration. Bring your shovel. I will be there. There will be thousands of people there. This will get coast-to-coast attention, and this is why 1332 should have been signed into law.
And a quick note, Senator, we will have Nick Dranius with us tomorrow from the Goldwater Institute on the program, and he is the lead attorney in this tombstone battle. Let's go to David now on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. David has a question for Senator Melvin. Go ahead, David.
I had a comment. Turning the federal lands over to the state will be utter unmitigated disaster because the legislature is controlled by the sprawl lobby. They'd sell them off to the highest bidder at developers. We don't have the water to sustain more development in the state, cut and dry, period. And I have called my congressman about the mismanagement of our forests. We need to fire these people and get new people in there to better manage the forest. But turning over the federal lands to the state of Arizona would be an unmitigated disaster. Our legislature is controlled by the sprawl lobby. They would sell it off to the highest bidder, which would be developers. It would send the state into a train wreck so fast it would make your head spin. We don't.
Thank you, David.
Well, I would like to comment
sure,
to that.
Ahead.
I couldn't disagree more with David. Last year, about a year ago, I had the opportunity to go to Alberta and British Columbia and Canada, both provinces. And what is unique about Canada compared to the U.S. is there Canada has more federal lands than we do, but the classic difference is each province totally controls the federal lands in the province.
I did not know that, and I've been up to Alberta and British Columbia extensively. Oh,
they're doing beautiful work up there. They control the forests, the water, the minerals, the grazing rights, everything. You've heard of the oil sands in northern
Alberta.
And I had a chance to visit that. They are, and they're doing it responsibly and correctly, because they know that local control is far better than federal control with a 2,500-mile screwdriver from the eastern part of Canada or Washington,
well,
D.C.
There was one thing in David's comment I think that you would agree
well,
with. I think he said about the mismanagement of the Forest Service. So
I do agree with that. But one thing I would like to say is we're on our 100th birthday. And why is it now at 100 years later that this is now a primary issue? And by the way, we're working with Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, ourselves, and New Mexico on identical worded legislation. But the reason it's an issue now is over the last 30 years, the extreme environmentalists in the BLM, the Forest Service, and other federal agencies have brought the forestry business, cattle raising, and mining to its knees with these extreme policies of theirs. And it's also affecting border security. If we had private land on the border, we have a better chance of effectively controlling this out of control border situation that we have with the chaos and the deaths in the desert. So many good things would come from converting federal to private property, and I'm bound and determined to make it happen.
Okay, Senator Al Melvin, and whether you agree with him or not, Buckmaster Show listeners, we welcome him on the program because we like to hear all the points of view. Go ahead.
I just wanted to plug my website.
Oh, go ahead.
SenatorMelvin.com. SenatorMelvin.com, and there's some great information there, a helpful links page, plus some interviews that I've done on various TV shows. Mm-hmm. So I tweet and I do Facebook entries every day.
We see your postings on Facebook. All right, Senator Melvin, have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Let's go. We'll be coming up here on the bottom of the hour, and we'll be taking a break on the Buckmaster Show as we approach 12:30.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Defense attorneys for John Edwards say the former presidential candidate committed sins but didn't commit any crimes. In closing arguments, a defense lawyer said the government did not prove that Edwards knowingly or intentionally violated campaign finance laws. For the first time in more than two decades, the U.S. will have a full ambassador to Myanmar. Political ties between the two countries have been warming amid political reforms in the Southeast Asian nation. The man chosen to be the ambassador is the current U.S. Special Envoy from Myanmar, Derek Mitchell. One private economist says today's numbers on new jobless claims indicate that we could see a pickup in hiring next month. Jennifer Lee of BMO Capital Markets is reacting to the news that the number of people seeking unemployment benefits was unchanged last week. On Wall Street, the Dow now down 108. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:33 on this Thursday afternoon. A little program note, coming up next Wednesday, May 23rd, the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Jewish Community Center will be hosting a congressional debate. It's a CDA debate. There are only two debates. One was a televised debate last night, and now this will be the only live event with an audience. And Democrat Ron Barber will be there, Republican Jesse Kelly, the Green Party candidate Charlie Manalakis also taking part. That debate starts at 7. It will go from 7 to 9 at the Jewish Community Center, 3800 East River Road. The doors open at 6:30. Now, KVOI, our radio station, will be handling the exclusive broadcast of this event. You can listen to the broadcast live on KVOI AM at 1030 Tucson and our simulcast partner KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. And you'll be able to live stream the debate at KVOI.com. And yours truly will be the master of ceremonies for the event. So it should be an interesting live event with a studio audience up to 500 or 600 people. So that ought to be a nice event. After a nationwide search, the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau Board of Directors has named Brent Derod as the president and CEO. He replaces Jonathan Walker. Jonathan announced his retirement in September after 18 years with the Bureau. Mr. Derod will be responsible for the overall operation of the
MTCVB and its $6.2 billion budget. Now, Brent, during his tenure in Scottsdale, led a campaign for Proposition 200, in which voters approved a 2% increase in the local bed tax, and he successfully worked with the Scottsdale City Council to allocate half of the total collected to the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Scottsdale. He also implemented a new branding initiative, which included the development of a print, television, and online advertising campaign. He holds a bachelor's degree in journalism and public relations and a master's in mass communication, both from ASU, but we won't hold that against you. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Bill.
Did I pronounce your last name right? Durad?
Durad, you bet.
Durad, okay. So you've been on the job about, what, four or five weeks?
That's right, you bet. Yeah, so far so good. Certainly have a lot to learn, but it's really been great, especially getting out and seeing a lot of the attractions throughout Tucson and Pima County.
What have you learned so far about Southern Arizona?
I would tell you that I think that the Sonoran Desert that we have here in Pima County is certainly the most beautiful part of the Sonoran Desert that we have to offer. I can tell you in Scottsdale, we certainly promoted the Sonoran Desert heavily, but you know, as I come here and take a look at the numerous hiking trails, Sabino Canyon, Mount Lemmon, so many of the other attributes that we have here, it's just really beautiful in terms of being able to hike, bike, and get out and recreate.
Yeah, I mean, Scottsdale's nice. I like to go up there every so often. But I really think that what we have here with the four mountain ranges is really unique in the United States, this particular environment.
I would agree. I think the ecosystem that we have here is truly remarkable. When you look at just the number of people who come down for birding alone and the economic impact associated with that, it's remarkable. But again, the hiking and biking trails, you know, the ability to get out and enjoy places like even the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, I was just amazed by, you know, its combination of the flora, the fauna, the animals that they have out there, you know, truly unique as well. So much to promote and look at. Even the Pima Air and Space Museum, I've made it out there, and several other attractions. But just so much to offer here.
I think it's an education process, Brent, because I think a lot of people don't understand the value of tourism. It is a clean industry, and it's an industry that supports, I think the last figure I saw, 21,500 jobs. Your industry generates more than $2 billion in economic impact yearly. And, you know, we're all ambassadors for Southern Arizona when we meet visitors here, especially we'll run into them probably a lot more frequently in the wintertime.
Oh, no question. And you know, the thing with the weather here, there's no doubt that that January through April timeframe will continue to be, you know, our peak season without question. But we still have capacity. I mean, for the most part, we're at 75 to 80% occupancy during that peak season. It drops, obviously, during the summer and fall months. And so we have a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of competition out there for tourists as well. So, but it all makes a difference. You know, those who are employed in the tourism industry and even those who are residents and business owners, anything that we can do to welcome those tourists and bring more of them here, it certainly will pay off for all of us.
Let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of your industry and perhaps how is Scottsdale's Convention and Visitors Bureau similar and perhaps dissimilar to what you have taken over here in Tucson?
You know, it's interesting. I was with the Scottsdale Convention and Visitors Bureau for about 10 and a half years before coming here a month ago. And what I can tell you is that before the recession hit back in 2007, the Tucson CVB was at a $10 million budget, as were we in Scottsdale. And I can tell you, Tucson was a very formidable competitor at that point. They were at a lot of the same trade shows we were, hosting a lot of the same media. Tucson was really out there and I felt like was really moving in the right direction. With the recession, you know, our budget here in Tucson has gone from, you know, $10 million plus down to just over $6 million at this point.
Ooh, is that big a hit?
It really has been, and it's been there for a couple of years. What we saw in Scottsdale is with the recession hitting, our budget dropped to about $8 million. We were able to get a bed tax increase in place. Scottsdale voters actually approved it. And so what's happened is the local bed tax went from 3 to 5%. Half came to the Scottsdale CVB, as you just mentioned, but the the other half, and to me this is what's really significant, was allocated primarily to tourism-related capital projects and special events. So the ability to go out and build in Scottsdale, a Scottsdale Museum of the West, to be able to build an enclosed Equidome at Westworld of Scottsdale, things that are going to drive tourism on an ongoing basis. So you've got a nice mix there. You've got half going to marketing and promotion, the other half into building a stronger product development mix. And that's the type of program I would desperately love to bring here into Tucson and Pima County.
So what about our funding mechanism right now? How do you see it?
What we've got in place currently is Pima County invests 50% of its bed tax into our operations, and that's exactly what we are hoping for. But with the city of Tucson, its investment has dropped from 45%, which was an agreement that was put together back in about 2003. That percentage has dropped from 45% down to about 20% of the total bed tax collections is now being invested in the CVB. So you've got essentially 80% of the bed tax and 100% of the sales tax dollars that visitors pay all going back into the Tucson General Fund.
And I think, Brent, that the drop from 45% to the 20% of the city, I think some of that was a reaction last year. There was some bad publicity for the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. I think some of the city council people did not feel that goals were being met.
And you know, that's certainly a fair comment. We are still in the midst right now of coming out of a Pima County audit committee that was put together and took a look at our operations. And what they found, for the most part, there certainly was no malfeasance, especially financial malfeasance by any means. But what we were looking at is, transparency back to the elected officials. They wanted to see and hear what it is that we're doing. They felt like from a reporting standpoint, we needed to be more aggressive. From those aspects. The other thing that came out of the Pima County audit is the need for us to develop standardized funding and performance measures out there as well, and that included this, specifically the city of Tucson. Again, I think Pima County feels at a 50% bed tax investment that perhaps they're carrying the lion's share right now, and I think that they're looking for some equity across the board. We also work with the town of Oro Valley at this point as well, and they are certainly starting to increase their bed tax investment in our organization as well.
So one of your goals will have to be then to make your organization, I would think one of the goals, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it would seem that you want to make your organization as transparent as possible.
Oh, there's no question. And in fact, in my first 30 days on the job, one of the things that I've certainly taken to heart out of that audit is I've been able to go out and meet actually in the ward offices with six of the seven Tucson City Council members. We have Mayor Rothschild coming up on June 1st, and also have been able to meet with four of the five members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. It's important that we tell our story. And as you mentioned before, the numbers certainly bear out the fact that the tourism is a very lucrative industry, not only for Pima County as a whole, but specifically for the city of Tucson.
Brent Durod is with us. He is the new president and CEO of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. When we come back on the Buckmaster Show with Brent, we're going to talk a little bit about branding Tucson. And if you would like to join in, 790-2040, perhaps you have an idea for Brent, I'm sure he would love to hear from you, about how you think this area should be branded as we continue on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KBOI. The Voice, we will be right back.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we come up now on 12:48. I want to welcome a new sponsor this month to the Buckmaster Show, and it is Adobe House Antiques. This is a great place. If you love antiques, they specialize in early 20th century European and American Western art. I love the early to mid 20th century Arizona, kind of the old masters of Arizona art. They have these folks represented at Adobe House Antiques. They're in a Jostler design building. It's a great building at 2700 North Campbell. It's just north of the Blue Willow in that area. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Stop by, say hello to the owner operator Penny, and she will show you this great building and the great merchandise they have there. Brent Durad is with us. He is the new president and CEO of the Tucson, Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's been on board about 5 weeks. He's been talking a bit here on the Buckmaster Show about his vision. Brent, we have not talked about branding. I'm sure you've got some ideas in that regard. How do you see Tucson being branded under your administration?
Well, currently the theme, if you will, would be the real real Southwest. And I do think that there's a lot of very strong components, to that particular brand. I think real certainly is a very appropriate term when you look at the Sonoran Desert, the attractions, the unique restaurants that we have. I had absolutely no idea until I got here how many family-owned restaurants there are and with generations of families as well. So I do think that there's a lot to that. One of the things, and we were talking earlier about the Pima County Audit Committee and some of their recommendations, is that we do go through a comprehensive branding process. And that's something I've certainly taken to heart. You know, I think with our board of directors, we want to take a look at perhaps engaging in a full rebranding campaign where we would go out, issue an RFP, you know, find a national brand strategist to come in and allow us to talk to all the different stakeholders out there. You know, what we would love to be able to do, don't know if it's going to be applicable or not, but a regional brand, something that for Tucson we could certainly use for tourism. We would love to see if there might be components that the chambers, the airport, TRIO, some of the other organizations might be able to tap into as well. But for us, I think that would be a really intriguing process. We have so many different constituencies out there, including 400 member businesses. We just need to get their thoughts and opinions and make sure that we incorporate that into a strategic and I think a brand that would really be impactful for us out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think that brand has to be from the minute you walk off the airplane at Tucson International Airport. And I love TIA, and I'm not just saying it, Brent, because they're one of the sponsors of my show. I think it's one of the finest airports in the country. It's easy to get in and out, and I think they really are trying to improve the air service, which is so important to what you do.
Oh, there's no question about it. That's one of the things that we've certainly identified as a huge opportunity for us and a challenge currently, with nonstop service to only 16 U.S. cities, whereas 100 miles north of us, you're looking at well over 100 cities that are served nonstop on a daily basis. It really does put us at a competitive disadvantage. One of the things we found in Scottsdale, even as we went through and did our research, is that 30% of the people who come to Scottsdale either take a day or an overnight trip to Tucson.
Really?
You do see a lot of people circulating throughout the state. There's just so much to see and do. At the end of the day, though, if we want to increase our meetings business specifically, those meeting delegates aren't looking for necessarily a one-stop or a scenario where they've got to change planes multiple times. They want that nonstop service into a destination. And as we are out there trying to compete for meetings, conventions, et cetera, we desperately need to get more nonstop air service coming into Tucson International Airport.
790-2040, 790-2040. Brent Derod is with us, the new president and CEO of the Metropolitan Chamber, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we have on the Buckmaster. Can you hear that audio level okay there?
I certainly
okay,
can.
Okay, good. We have Joe Dreyfus. Joe is the host of the weekly show here Sunday, 5 to 6 in the afternoon, The Visit. Joe Dreyfus has some ideas for spurring tourism. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'm just enjoying your program immensely. What I'm hearing as a native and whose family's been involved in the tourist business is that you're bringing in some young blood and ideas of something that worked very successfully here on up until the 80s, and then it was more or less abandoned, and that is the Southwest, our heritage here in Tucson, and promoting that in the way of tourism. The other thing that I would like to ask you about is, are you going to get in behind the movie industry, which further helped our tourism?
Yes, that's a good point, Joe. And, of course, the film industry, I believe, is part of it's under the umbrella, right, of what you do, Brent?
It is. The Tucson Film Office was incorporated into the Metropolitan Tucson CVB several years ago, and your point about the film industry is an outstanding one. And actually, Shelley Hall, who runs our Tucson Film Office, she was really, I think, the leader in terms of trying to pass a film incentive bill that actually just failed through the Arizona legislature.
I'm very disappointed that failed.
I think we were too.
That was a huge incentive for our industry as we compete against New Mexico and surrounding states for the film industry.
We were so close. And again, you know, from an incentive standpoint, you know, we could probably argue that all day whether it's appropriate or not. But I think the appropriate safeguards were put in place to ensure that that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, were spent before a dollar of incentives would come back. What we're specifically after would be certainly, you know, feature films, but also television series, the ability to bring those, you know, back into Tucson specifically. You know, again, we're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in economic impact. Jobs, et cetera. But Shelley fought the good fight on that. We had the votes in the House. The Senate, we thought we had the votes. It turns out the Senate president did not allow that to be heard in the closing days of the session. And I don't know that the governor was supportive of it. But for us to compete, it's vital that we get that back. Otherwise, the other part of the comment was in terms of heritage.
Yes. And Joe's family, by the way, Brent, goes back a long time in southeastern Arizona. And I think he's got a point about we need to go back to the roots about why people first came out here to Tucson for tourism.
Oh, there's no question. For us, especially with the limited budget, we need to look at those unique attributes where Tucson really shines and excels. And that comes back to culture and heritage and the ability to convey to potential leisure travelers and meeting planners what it is that makes Tucson special. And it is that heritage and culture. In Scottsdale, if something was 30 years old, it was time to tear it down and build new. You know, here, there's a true, I think, appreciation of the heritage and the history. We need to embrace that, and we need to convey that out to potential visitors on an ongoing basis. It sets us apart, and it really makes us special.
Did you go through a branding process in Scottsdale?
We did. And again, I think, you know, with the cachet of that destination, it's something that was certainly built up over time. You know, there's really a focus on that high-end, you know, leisure traveler and looking at incentive meeting groups and high-end corporate meetings as well. That
was our specifics. But there was still kind of an old, as I recall from some of the ads I've seen about Scottsdale, there was still kind of an Old West component, wasn't there?
we did. I'd love to tell you we had the product to deliver that. We really didn't.
No.
But still, I think especially internationally, and I see it here as well with German tourists and others, there's a big appreciation, I think, for you know, that Old West you know, culture and heritage.
I was going to say, Brent, that we were up at up in Alberta, came down flew up to Calgary, and there's a huge Canadian market that needs to be tapped for Tucson.
No question.
Right now, they're going to Phoenix, as you know. The Canadian tourists, many of them have winter homes there. We've got to somehow tap into getting some of that. I know we get some now, but we really need to increase the Canadian tourists.
And that goes back to, again, from a budget standpoint. You know, I would tell you, as we went from 8 to 11 million in Scottsdale, the great bulk of those dollars went into marketing Scottsdale into New York and into Canada, and specifically into Western Canada. You know, you typically want to follow the flights, and that will lead you to the greatest number of visitors who are going to come out. And so Western Canada is a huge opportunity. I think the Metro Phoenix area has tapped into it in a big way. We need to spend some additional dollars marketing to tour operators, travel agents, and high-end leisure travelers in Canada, much like we've started to do in Mexico. That's one area where, again, I think we've really taken the lead. In Scottsdale, we did no marketing in Mexico. Here in Tucson, with Felipe Garcia, the Vamos a Tucson website and what we've been able to do, even with visitor centers that we have. We have visitor centers in Hermosillo and Obregón, and we're very proud of that. We're going to continue to increase our Mexico marketing, but you are absolutely right. Canada is a huge opportunity for us.
And WestJet offering nonstop service from Calgary into Phoenix. If we could just get WestJet to come down here even once a week with a weekly flight into Tucson, believe me, it would pay off.
Exactly. And that's the type of thing, too, with air service development. We're working with the Chamber, with the Tucson Airport Authority, to see what we might be able to do. There's also the private sector stepping up. You know, we need those nonstop flights coming in here.
So your immediate goal, right now you're in the meet and greet phase, learning the area, but you have certainly hit the ground running, so to speak, haven't you?
Well, I think it's important. You know, it's one thing to know the tourism industry, but I really need to get to know this community. And, you know, it's based on relationships and getting out and meeting people. I've loved it so far.
Brent DeRod has been with us. Brent is, as of April, mid-April, he became the new head of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I would assume that you take phone calls and emails from the public.
Absolutely. We do.
If somebody's got an idea, you never know.
I'd love that. You bet. And certainly, you know, a good way to reach us is also through our website, which is visittucson.org. Would love to get, you know, folks contacting us that way. But yeah, otherwise, you know, probably email is a great way to get me. bderaad@visittucson.org. I would love to, see or hear anything that you might have to offer.
Thank you so much. Good luck to you. We'll have you back.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. Are you looking for a CPA? Well, we have the person for you, the firm for you, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Michael C. Flowers, he's the guy. That's going to do it. Tomorrow, we've got the Friday Focus. We will see you at 12:04 here on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.